Amen. Isn't it great to have hymns just like that, isn't it? In your wee hymn book, and you can turn to them. And I often, with my Bible and some of my readings, would always have a hymn book close by. Because whenever you're reading a passage of scripture or thought comes into your mind, and not that I'm a great singer, but it's good to be able to turn and to read. But you know, if you look at the last of that little hymn, it says, you know, while in simple faith, you know, simple faith. And sometimes people think, I can't pray because I hear other people praying, and boy, I wish I could pray like that. But no, that's not what the Lord wants. The Lord just wants you to simply tell Him what's on your heart. What is your desire? What is your heart's desire? And just in simple faith, just say, Lord, and tell Him all about it. Tell Him all about it. But have the faith to believe that when you ask, the Lord will give. Turn, please, in your Bible to John chapter 3. And I want to thank the Reverend Stuart for giving this opportunity. And it's lovely to be with you. I know many are probably like myself. You come from a farming background. And when the sun shines, it's time to make the hay. But whenever it comes to the midweek prayer meeting, well, it's certainly time we have to pull the stopper, and we'll have to trust the Lord. We'll get the hay and all that needs to be done in the will of the Lord. But it's good you're here, and it's lovely to see so many young people at a prayer meeting as well, and it's good to be back among you. But I was thinking over this week, and there was a little phrase that caught my mind probably Saturday evening, and I want to share it with you tonight before we come to pray. I know that John 3 is a good old gospel passage of scripture. It's one of my most favorite passages in the Bible. But I just want to share with you just a little thought that the Lord laid on my heart the other night, and I wanted to bring it here tonight. And it just says in verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost, except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? And Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak, and we do know, and testify, that we have seen, and ye have received our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man have ascended up to heaven, but he that cometh down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth in him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the command, the consolation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Amen. We know that the Lord will bless his word to all of our hearts. We just ask God, the Lord, for his help as we turn to his word. Lord, we thank thee for the passage that we have read together. And Lord, we have read this passage many, many times, and how it has encouraged us, it has strengthened us. And Lord, for many in this room, Lord, even through this very chapter, it has led us to Christ. And we thank you, Lord, for the great promises and for the great teachings that Nicodemus received of thee that night. And now, Lord, as we would come to just look at a wee phrase within it, Lord, we pray for the help of the Holy Ghost, that he would come, that he would breathe upon us, and that thou would teach us. Lord, fill this preacher, for what am I, Lord? For all I am is the clay, and Lord, thou art the potter. Fill us with the Holy Ghost, for we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Whenever I was doing my readings the other night, I just happened to come across a little phrase in verse 8 of John chapter 3. And it's there right at the very beginning. The wind bloweth where it listeneth. And that word listeneth sort of caught my eye. And it simply means freely. And we could say that the wind bloweth where it freely wishes to go. And what I really want to speak to you tonight is on that of great revival and the power and the moving of the Holy Ghost. Because ladies and gentlemen and young people, what we need in our day and age tonight is the wind of heaven to blow again. And really what I have taxed this sermon is heavenly wind. Because you know tonight, as I was out today and was working out in the street, and we were doing a job, and it was really, really hot. And it just got to that point of the hot point, and all of a sudden there was a little breeze, and it just come right across the yard, and you felt the breeze, and it began to just cool you down. And I sort of thought of that tonight. You know, Lord, that's what we need tonight. We need the wind of the Holy Ghost to come in and to breathe upon us and to give us the help and the power that is needed for us and you and me in this day and in this generation that we live, to be able to witness to those who are without Christ. And I thought of that tonight, that heavenly wind. And when you come to the Bible, it's a great study for yourself to study the winds in the Bible. Whenever you go to the book of Jonah, God sent the wind. We called it a great wind. Jonah was running away from the will of God. And God sent the great wind and a storm to correct Jonah, that he would go back to do the will of God. Whenever you go to the book of Job in chapter 1, God sent another wind, and it was a wind of judgment, and the whole house of Jonah, where his children were, it fell, and they all were dead. And what a trial Jonah entered into. And then we find that there was another wind, a wind of trial. Whenever the disciples were crossing across the sea in the boat, the Lord whipped up a great storm, and it was a real trial of their faith. And then there was another wind in Acts chapter 20. It was actually a hurricane that the Lord sent to encourage Paul to go on to preach the word of God. And when you come into the book of Psalms, it tells us in Psalm 148 and verse 8, stormy winds fulfilling his word. And sometimes God has to send a wind or a storm into your life that he can work it all out for his glory and for his honor and for his own purpose. Is that you tonight? Is the Holy Spirit working in your heart tonight? Is God beginning to stir and whip up a storm in your life, a wind in your life, whether to correct you in your walk with God, to rebuke you for your sin that you're committing as a child of God, or is it a sin of testing, a wind to test you and to try you? My dear friend, listen, what we need tonight for God's people is this, is a heavenly wind to come and to revive us again. We need revived. I need revived. You know, the preacher can lose his cutting edge. We as God's children, we can lose the vision. We can lose the purpose of why we're actually here tonight. We're here to pray and we're here to seek the Lord. And what we need for tonight is for God to send the Holy Spirit, that He would lead us and teach us how we might pray. Oh, how we need the wind, that heavenly wind to come and to fill our hearts. You know, we can see how that happened. If you turn with me, please, in Acts chapter 2. And a wonderful chapter again to study about the wind coming and this heavenly wind. And it's at Pentecost. And you know how that the Lord said in Acts chapter 1 that He was ascending up into heaven and the disciples were to remain at Jerusalem. And He said that in verse 7, He said unto them, "It is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in His own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And as they're fulfilling the Lord's command, they go in and they seek the Lord and they begin to pray. And then when they're in this room in chapter 2, verse 1, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come," I want you to note this, "they were all," did you see that? "They were all with one accord in one place." Why were they all in this one place? Because they were waiting. They were waiting and expecting. The Lord had told them, "Not until you receive power, but when you've received the power of the Holy Ghost, then you will become my witnesses, not only in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, but to the uttermost parts of the earth." And the church, this is the first meeting in the New Testament, and they're gathered together, and they're there with one accord. You see the word "one accord"? That's unity. That's unity. And I tell you, men and women, God will never bless and God will never pour out His Spirit if there is division and friction and wranglings going on among God's people. But here you find that they were gathered together, they were in the spirit of prayer, and they were waiting, and they were expecting, and they were there with one accord. In the book of Psalm, it says, "Where the brethren dwell together in unity, it is there where God commands and pours out the blessing." And now you get the phrase, look what it says, "with one accord." Look at verse 2. "And then suddenly," it says, "and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind." Now there's that heavenly wind. Here is the power of the Holy Ghost coming down in a mighty heavenly wind. And it says, "and it filled all." Do you see that? "And it filled all the house where they were sitting." Oh, men and women, look at this little meeting tonight. We're all gathered together with one accord in one place, waiting and expecting for the Lord to do something. Just not to go through the format of a prayer meeting, not just to come out of habit or out of something that we have to continue to do, but we want to come to the prayer meeting with a desire and wait. Oh Lord, do something tonight. Do something that we've never saw before. Think of those men that prayed not too far down the line. Prayed for revival in Ulster. They went almost a year, almost about to give up. And one night as they sat round a potbelly fire and they were praying and praying, the Holy Ghost came down and filled their hearts with Holy Ghost fire. At a little school just outside of Kells, one little lad begins to break down and he begins to cry. And the teacher tells him to take him home. And he realizes they're all outside as the Holy Ghost is beginning to work. Oh, men and women, do we not need the wind of heaven? Do we not need the Holy Ghost to come today and to fill this room with His power and with His glory? Lord, teach me how to pray. Not to pray in the flesh, not to pray just to be heard, but, oh Lord, help me to touch the throne of heaven. Oh, how we need that heavenly wind to come and to breathe upon us. You see, the Holy Spirit is God Himself, absolutely free and working according to His own will and the pleasure amongst men. You know, whenever I thought of that tonight and whenever I was putting it together and thinking of it, you know, have you ever had the thought, why did the Holy Spirit move in this area and yet it never moved in that area? Or why did the wind of heaven touch that town and it never went through that town? Some thought, isn't it? And yet God, who is sovereign and faithful, is working everything out for His own purpose, for His glory. And men and women, whatever I thought of that, the wind bloweth where it listeneth. Thou hearest the sound, but ye cannot tell whence it cometh and where it goeth. And sometimes when God moves in revival and power, when the Holy Spirit goes to work and He begins to work, He can stay for a little while or He can stay for a long period of time. And that's what you find in the Bible, oh, for a little revival. And what we would give, what would we give tonight? Oh, for just a little revival. Just to know what our forefathers, or those who were the founders of the Free Church many years ago, whenever they came to prayer meetings, the carpets were soaking with tears. The clock didn't matter to them. They cried through the night and they held on with God. They wrestled through the night until they got the answer and God moved and God saved. These young men are just like me. We know nothing of it. We can go through the history of the Free Church's early days and their men can come tonight, or men and women can come, and they say, I remember sitting in a meeting and you couldn't even have moved it. You could have felt the very presence of God. What was that meeting like? And the Lord staying His hand and the Lord remaining in the area, even when the mission had gone out or the work had gone out, the Lord was still working. The wind of heaven was still moving and working within the area. Oh, how we need the wind of heaven to come tonight and to fill the room and to fill our hearts with His power. But you know, there's something else about the wind of heaven. If you turn with me to Ezekiel 37, not only to fill their hearts with power, but this is the work of the Spirit. Not only to fill our hearts, but we find this wonderful passage in Ezekiel 37. And I would encourage young men and young women to study this wonderful chapter. It's about Ezekiel and the Spirit. It's the Spirit of the Lord leads Ezekiel down into the valley of dry bones. And how he's standing there, and it's a picture of barrenness, of dryness, of deadness. There's no life. It's absolutely hopeless. And then when we come down into this wonderful chapter, he says in verse 9, he says, then said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. And he says, prophesy unto the wind, son of man, say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come. Do you see that? Lord, come. Say to the Holy Spirit, Lord, send the Holy Spirit amongst us. Why? That He might breathe upon these slain, that they might live. You see, that's why we need the Holy Spirit to come. Not only to fill our hearts. Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they might live. Who's the they? It's those tonight, men and women, who are still dead in their sins and in their trespasses. It's those who are dead in their iniquities. And the only way they will have life is when the Holy Spirit will come and breathe the breath of life into them. Oh, do I not need the Holy Spirit tonight to come and speak to my loved ones who are still not saved? Do I not need to pray that the Lord would send the Spirit of God to speak to my ones and my friends and neighbors, to speak to those in my own town who are still not saved? Lord, come. Lord, send the Holy Spirit that he might breathe upon these slain. Look, Lord, they're lost, and the Lord knows they're lost. And the Lord knows they're on that broad road that's leading to hell and destruction. But Lord, come and save them before, Lord, it be too late. Oh, men and women, do we not need the heavenly wind? Do we not need that power and wind of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God to come, and not only to fill our hearts with the Holy Ghost and with power, but oh, that he might breathe upon these slain, that they might live. You know, there are many missions going on at the minute, and thank God for it. And we're here tonight to pray, and let us pray that wherever there's a mission going on tonight, that the Lord would send the Holy Spirit, that he might convict and breathe upon these slain, Lord, that they might live. I remember Mr. Elliott preaching on that they might live, and I never forgot it. And he taught it one night in a midweek prayer meeting, and it was a powerful prayer meeting after, because the Lord really convicted us that we weren't praying for those who were still in their sins and that they were lost on their way to hell. And we need to pray for the Lord to send the wind, the Holy Spirit, that he might breathe upon them or slain, that they might live. They might live. So brethren, that heavenly wind, the wind bloweth where it listeth. It can come into this room, and imagine if we're gathered here together with one accord, and all of a sudden there's a breeze, there's a wind that comes right through. We'll not be going home. We'll not be going home. Because when God comes down, we'll want to stay. We'll want to stay. And brethren, when God begins to move, and the Lord begins to breathe upon the slain of this land, then we'll see things turning. We'll see things turning. But you know, there's another reason why the Lord would bear the heavenly wind, and it's in 1 Samuel, or 2 Samuel chapter 5 and verse 24. And whenever David was ready to pursue the Lord, he went in there and there was the mulberry trees. And the Lord said, I'll send you a sign, David. I'll give you a sign. When you hear the wind, when you hear the sound going through the tops of the mulberry trees, then, David, you pursue. Then you pursue. And you know, brethren and sisters, there's a time when we must wait on the Lord. That's the hardest thing, isn't it? We want to go now. We want to go and do it now. We want to go and go in our own strength and our own health, but there's times we have to wait. We have to wait. And before David could go and attack and take over the enemy, he had to wait. But the Lord said, listen, David, wait until you hear the sound. Until you hear the sound going in the tops of the mulberry trees. And you can read 2 Samuel chapter 5 for yourself. And what a great encouragement. And you also get it in 1 Chronicles chapter 14 and verse 14. The same coincidence. And David's sitting there and he's just waiting and expecting. And the minute that the wind blows through the trees and he hears the wind going through the top, he knows the Lord's going before him. He knows the battle's won. And you know, men and women, that's the way to pray. Don't get up off your knees until you've got the answer. Until you've got the answer. You know, if we could bring back our old prayer warriors into this generation in which we're living in, they would be shocked. They wouldn't be calling special meetings. I believe the first thing they'd be calling is days of prayer, times of prayer. Why? Because we need the Lord. We need the Lord to move and work before us. And you see, brethren, David waited until the wind, they could hear the sound of the wind going through the tops of the mulberry trees. And the minute those leaves began to move, the Spirit was at work. And David was being guided in the right road. Oh, men and women, that's what this preacher needs. That's what this congregation needs. And this is what this country needs, is a visitation of the Holy Ghost again. But you see, as I come to close, whenever you think of, as I said, Britain during the Reformation, we were blessed because the Lord turned what was darkness into light. That tonight we're privileged that we have the open Bible. We're able to meet freely in meetings like this, and yet other parts of the world, and they've still never been touched by the gospel. And whenever you think of the question, I believe in Romans chapter 9, the Lord gives the answer to it. If you turn in Romans chapter 9 and in verse 14, whenever I read this, again, you read it very many times, and yet it all comes out when Romans chapter 9 and verse 14. What shall we then say? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. You know, why would the Lord visit that country and not visit that country? I don't know about you, but I've often wondered, you know, we live on an island and there's a little line. Some people may forget where the border is, but we know where the border runs right across. And yet this little top of this part of the island has been greatly blessed with the preaching and the power of the gospel. And yet across that black line, down into the south of Ireland, there hasn't been such a great move of God in that part at all. Is God unrighteous? No. Then Moses says, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. And I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. It is God that showeth mercy. Why am I standing in this pulpit tonight? It's not because of what I have done, but it's because of the mercy of God. Why are you and I in this prayer meeting tonight, saved by the grace of God? It's because of God's mercy that he had compassion on you and me to save us and to bring us into his kingdom. Men and women, he could have passed you and me by, but he didn't. He didn't. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, and I thought this was a real hard one to take, for of the same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and in my name that I might declare throughout the earth. And look at verse 18. Wherefore have he had mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will have hardened. Are you glad you're saved tonight? Are you glad that God had mercy on your soul and he saved you? Are you glad the wind of heaven visited your soul? The Holy Ghost came and spoke and strived with you and revealed to you Christ in his glory and showed you that you were a sinner and that you needed to be saved. Are you glad tonight for the mercy of God? And that you didn't harden your heart like Pharaoh. And then he says, then will I say unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For whom resisteth his will? He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Why does the Lord do it? He does it for his glory. As I finish with this thought, ladies and gentlemen, and we're soon coming to prayer, it can be said the same, not only in the land for the wind of heaven to come and move not only in our land again and not only in Ulster, but even right through the whole island of Ireland, sweeping many into the kingdom. But think of it on the individual. The individual. And there's a great picture of that when you look at the life of Jacob and his brother Esau. You know, the two were born at the same time. Jacob come holding on to the foot. And yet because of Esau's sin and his lust of his flesh, he sold his birthright. He sold his birthright for a wee pot of stew. And the Bible says, even though he sought it with tears, he could find no repentance. And yet Jacob, who was a real twister and a deceiver, found the mercy and grace of God and received the blessing that the Lord had for him. Lydia, she sat at the river brook and she heard the Apostle Paul as he preached the word of God, and the wind of heaven, the Holy Spirit, opened her heart. Opened her heart. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. Why? Because the wind bloweth where it listeneth, and thou hearest the sound, but thou cannot tell whence it cometh and when it goeth. Ladies and gentlemen, when a surfer sits on that sea, he waits for the wave. He watches for it. The minute the wave comes, he surfs. But it doesn't surf long before the wave dies down, and he can sit back down upon the sea. May God send the Holy Ghost to come again. And may we be gathered with one accord, waiting. And when the wind of heaven blows, may God send us forward. And may we see in our day and in our generation, men and women, boys and girls, being swept into the kingdom of God for his great glory. We haven't long, you know. Jesus is coming back. But thank God we're still in the day of grace. And when we pray to that end, Lord, send the wind. Send the wind. Send the wind of the Holy Ghost. Thank you all, and thank you.
And session here, I'd just like to welcome everyone to our midweek meeting tonight, and a special word of welcome to our preacher, Mr. Stephen Castles, who is no stranger to us here in Porcalone, and we've been blessed through his ministry many times. And again tonight, the Lord has used our brother in a mighty way, even to bring his word, and this word in season, to challenge our hearts. Even as we think about that heavenly wind, and as we think about the great need of our land and our nation, even for the Lord to come again in power and in revival. So thank you, Stephen, for coming tonight, and thank you for that message that you brought from God's Word. Just a few announcements just to remind you of. 8 a.m. Sunday morning is the early time of prayer in the church hall, and we just would ask again for a good turnout there to seek the Lord in prayer on Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. Sunday school Bible class, 10:45. Prayer times at the usual time. And then this Sunday is our challenge day, 12 noon, 6:30 p.m. Invite family and friends along. And the preacher on the Lord's Day will be Reverend Julian Patterson from Ballymagurney Free Presbyterian Church. And then also remember our open air service again this Lord's Day afternoon, 3:30 p.m. down the main street of Brother Roy Gillespie. We'll preach the word, and our brother Curtis Brown will give a word of testimony as to the Lord's work in his life and what the Lord has done for him. So remember, as we get down to prayer, the services in the Lord's Day and the open air service in the main street. We'll just commit our time now to the Lord in prayer. Seek the Lord, seek his help, even as we come to the throne of grace in prayer. Let us pray. Our God and our Father, we bow humbly again in thy presence. We thank you, Lord, for the great privilege that we have of coming into thy presence through Christ, our mediator. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can come into thy presence because of what Christ has done for us there at Calvary. We thank you that we have been redeemed,